Okay, I feel like saying a few words. Rafalk was nifted today, and I just feel that it's important to say a few thoughts. I don't know. I'm sure you remember as well. Those of us learned in Gateshead, it was unique the way he was giving a Mishnah Berurah every day, and it was absolutely unbelievable. The clarity that in his mind, really mathematical. You ask him about a certain rule, how many exceptions he would give in split seconds. He would work out all the exceptions. Yeah, this is a rule of Embish Lacha Bishl, but there's four exceptions. One is Mishnah Berurah, then one is a Chayodim over there, and one is everything complete, clear, mamash, like Kamunach Bekufsa, like absolutely glass clear, all absolutely worked out, not wishy washy, Svore here, Svore there. Was absolutely, I don't remember ever seeing a post-it. I don't think so. With such an unbelievable, nearly mathematical clarity in his mind, everything was completely. And another thing which I find absolutely unique with Rafalk, I wasn't zoicher to have a lot of shaychus to him at all, but I was in Gateshead for a number of years, and I think his anava was also something which is quite incredible. The way, like, he really didn't understand at all what people wanted from him, and the way to, until he would answer calls like. As if there was absolutely no, there was no restrictions and no complications, no admin and no secretarial department, no gaboim, just like this straightforward kind of approach. Which on once you reach that level of psak and fame and international, it was international, well beyond Gateshead, well beyond, and he still had that easy approach and uncomplicated. And my sister would call him up regularly for shailas, and no problem, no hesitation, no reservation, no. That's something which is also very, very special. And finally, one thing I just remembered earlier. I remember the one conversation I had with him, which when I was in Gateshead, that's probably more than 20 years ago, and I bought a cheese toaster, which was probably against yeshiva rules, but that's another topic. We'll leave that out for now. But I bought a cheese toaster, and Rafalk held very strongly that cheese toasters were chayv tevila. And I know there's poskim hold that you don't have to tovel and some machlokes, but Rafalk felt very, very strongly that you've got to tovel it. So he had that, in my days, I don't know if that was just in my days, that continued later on, I have no idea, but I know for a fact, that conversation, that he offered all the boch, he offered me, or I suppose others as well, that if you tovel a cheese toaster, or any appliance, he would be happy to tovel it himself, I believe. I think he toveled himself, but for sure, maybe I toveled it, but I think he may have toveled it. And he said, if it breaks, he didn't say that, oh, don't worry, it's not going to break. That's not what he said. He said, you know, it's not going to break, don't worry about it. That's not what he said. But what he did say was, if it breaks, I'll pay you back. That means I bought a cheese toaster, and he felt that it's wrong for it to go without. He felt that it's got to be toveled. So either he toveled it or I toveled it. I think he toveled it even. He said, pick it up in a couple of days. But I know for a fact that he said, if anything goes wrong, I'll pay you for a new one. Now, and that's something which what does that show us? It probably shows us that he really, really cared. He genuinely, genuinely cared about Tanocha being done. And that's, he's really special. It's not like, you know, I paskin for your sake. I give you a psak on your sake. But on the contrary, he felt that that's what's got to be done. So let's do that together. Very, really, really, Chaval al Davdin v'loy mishtakhin. Fine, let us continue with Hilchos Pesach Siman Tov Nun Aleph. We are up to Seif. Chof Dalet, which is page Mem Dalet in the Mishnah Berurah in the Dershu editions. Siman Tov Nun Aleph Seif Chof Dalet. Clay eights, wooden kalim. Page Mem Dalet. Third line. Clay eights, wooden kalim. Hametzupim besamonim shekurin barnis. Wooden kalim, which are covered with a layer. is a coating. This is going to be really relevant for many of our kitchens. So you've got a wooden keli, which has got a coating. Shikorin varnus. Dinom ke chli cheres, the aloch is like chli cheres. What's the aloch of chli cheres? Mishneh Berurah reminds us, in Sifkotan, kuf, mem, base, 5 lines from the bottom. We've learned that Hagola will not work with Kli Cheres, with ceramic, with earthenware. It doesn't work. If hot chametz was used for earthenware, you cannot do Hagola. Because we learned that a person is not going to do proper hagolah when it comes to earthenware because he's worried that he might break it. So shasamonim akvin al mea hagolah shlo yaflitu ma shebolua b'seicha eitz. Over here, a slight different point. When you've got a wooden keli, so you've got a wooden spoon. What would be a common wooden keli? Wooden. Okay, yeah, wouldn't. So now, if it's wood itself, then normally you'd say, yeah, you can do argola with it. But here we are learning that if there's a coating on top, so we are worried that it's like klicheres. We're worried he's not going to do proper argola. And furthermore, there are chances that perhaps the bleers went inside, and there are also similarly these chances that the coating will block it leaving the keli. So since there's a coating, it makes things a lot worse. If it would be a wooden keli in its own, would say, kaboilo kach poltoi. But over here, since there's a coating, that makes things a lot worse, and you cannot do hagola with it. This is really important, Aboy. So we're learning now that if it's coated, we are concerned perhaps the bleers are not going to exit. Says the Ramo, v'yesh machmirim. The Ramo goes furthermore. He says v'yesh some are more stringent. Shmachmirim shalishtamish bekelim tsvurim. They say that any painted keli, Ramo says, you cannot use painted tsvurim, painted kelim. Hafilin chadosh min if they are new. V'chein and similar amchupim bevdil kelim which are covered with lead. Ever seen any of that? Lead coated kelim. Never seen that. A keli which is covered with lead. Not sure what that is. Covered with a layer of lead.
It's banned now.
It's banned. Ah, it's poison.
Poisonous.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay, so, right, okay. Well, let's imagine a keli which is covered with lead. The meaning is to be only machmir, says the Ramo, in place where there's established minik, that's where you've got to be machmir, otherwise not. But so when it comes to clay aids, if it's covered mamash with a coating, then the Shulchan Aruch holds that it's awesome, and the Ramo agrees with that, and that's not a minik, that is an established halacha. This Ramo goes a step further and he says that if it is colored or it is covered with lead, then it's a chumra only, and that you only keep to the chumra where you, if that's established in your particular place. But in terms of if there's a proper formal cover, not just color, if there's not just dye, but if it's not painted, but if it's a proper cover of something, then that would be properly also to use. Yes. With what? With
lead and coloring.
Yeah. 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 Yes. Now, the reason why this is a particularly important seif is because of a lot of our kitchens are indeed made out of perhaps wood, but they don't just have wood. What? It's just plain wood. What's on top of it? Absolutely, they are coated. There's a layer of some synthetic substance which is coated on top. Which, therefore, if that's what it's made out of, what would be the halacha based on what we're learning now? You can't do agola because we are concerned that perhaps the bleers that came inside perhaps will not be able to exit because of the coated layer, and therefore your agola won't help. So,
the coated layer is not good here.
Again,
on the laminate layer, that's the problem.
Why?
You can't kasher it.
Why can you not kasher it?
Surface. Plastic.
So you're asking generally about plastic. Okay, we'll be discussing this. So I'm saying, yeah, you're saying a plastic.
Why are we assuming that there's no linkages?
It's probably a kind of chashash. It's a good question. I don't have clarity in it. It's probably a kind of chashash to assume that perhaps he went in, and we don't know for sure when he comes out. So it's not a conventional kind of kabbalah kachpolto scenario. When I have metal, when I have any normal material, then I would say the way it went in, that's the way it's going to come out. But over here, there's an element of sulfate that perhaps it went in and it's not going to come out when I do agola, it might come out later.
What's the
eitzah? The eitzah is probably just to cover it as much as you can. But the covering, so we know there's two types of covering. When you cover it with your own layers of things, so there's two approaches. One is an approach of adding something is completely kashered, and I'm only covering it as an additional chumrah. That's one kind of covering that we do. For instance, what do we do? When do we do that? So we've kashered an area, we still cover it up. We've kashered it, and in principle it's fine, but we still cover it up. For instance, where? Some of the surfaces, yes, some of the metal surfaces perhaps. We've done a proper hagolah, and nevertheless, we cover it just in case. That's minik, that's good. But then, this is not what we're referring to. So you're asking about the surfaces which we cannot kasha. So if we're talking about surfaces which we cannot kasha, you can't just have that kind of aluminium, or just to be yotzer, it's not good enough. You then have to have a completely different type of covering material. You've got to make it as if I've replaced the level, and I've now got a new level, a new table, as it were. Have to make it much more solid, much stronger, and much more.
You get a countertop.
For instance, the countertops, or perhaps if you do a double layer of something more, a bit stronger, a bit more solid, then that would be good as well. I'm just saying that the answer to your question is, what do you do about the areas that cannot be cashed? The answer is, cover it up. But don't just cover it with silver foil. Aluminium, it's got to be something much more substantial than that. Okay. Now continues the Shulchan Aruch with Sif Chof Hei. Kol Klei Shtia. That's an interesting one. Okay, we spoke about the glasses. What do we do with glasses? Does anybody use the same glasses over there on Pesach? Anybody use? No? So, okay, let's see. Kol Klei Shtia. Any drinking keli, ben sloichis, whether it's glass or ben koisois, yeah, whether it's mugs or glasses, mutorim b'shtifa, you can use them on Pesach, as long as you've rinsed it thoroughly, you can use it on Pesach. Shehim, ben shem shel schuchis, whether it is glass, ben shem shel eitz, whether it's made out of wood, ben shem matchas, whether it's made out of metal, ben shel cheres, whether it is made out of earthenware. So any drinking keli can be used for Pesach, provided that it's clean. And although shelifamim at times noisnin bohem lechem cham, at times you'll put a bit of bread into your cup. You do that? We don't do it so much, but they used to put a bit of bread into the drink. Pardon? Yeah, I see. All right, okay, yeah, it's comparable, yeah, okay. Although at times we'll put some hot bread into these glasses, into these mugs. Kevan, since the majority of the use of those glasses is only for cold, sagi beshtifa, it remains kosher as long as you rinse it. Why is that?
Any form of
potato pie. Why bottle of shishim? What do you think bottle of shishim?
This is alluding to the idea that there's a roiv and...
Oh, very good, very good. Okay, we're nearly there. Roiv tashmish. So that, you're right. Just slightly... What is that got to do with? Again, the Shulchan Aruch's words is that you can use the drinking kelim, as long as you rinsed it, you can use it for Pesach. Why? Because it's generally used for cold. It's true at times you use it for hot, but generally use it for cold. Who holds like that? Absolutely. This is the Shulchan Aruch Leshitoso. Shulchan Aruch said, this is a very important machlokes. Shulchan Aruch held that you go according to the roiv, Tashmishai, the majority of its use. And the fact that it's normally used for cold, so ignore the odd times that use it for hot. And that's the words of Shulchan Aruch. Kevin Shirov, Tashmish Nele Betzoinen, since the majority of its use was for cold use, Sagi Bishtif, it's good enough to rinse it. Shiloh Olchu Bekli, Bechol Keli Elo Achroif, Tashmisha, because we generally go according to the Roif, Tashmish, the majority of its use. And, but, what's the big but, which is coming now? Ramah disagreed. Ramah says, you've got to go according to the most common use, even if it is rare. For Ye Miu says the Ramah, Yesh Machmim, some are stringent, including himself. Umatzichin Hagolah, require Hagolah. For Chenu again, and that is the Minik according to the Ramah, and that's the Ashkenazi Sheminik, that we require Hagolah if it was used at times for hot. So what does that mean, Lemaisa, with regards to our glasses? So far, we're going to see soon that's not true, but so far, what I mean, our glasses, I don't know, do you use your glasses for hot?
No.
Do you use your glasses for hot ever? Red, you do sometimes?
Lemon tea glasses,
right. Yeah, and I was wondering about that. So, yeah, so if at times you use it for hot, you would have to do Hagolah. If you never, ever, ever use your glasses for warmer temperature, if you always use it for cold drinks only, then you, in principle, you could just, according to both, rinse it off and use it for Pesach. This is not what we're going to do, and we're going to see soon why. But so far, this machlokes of here is the machlokes of Shulchan Aruch Ramah, which is Rav Tashmish Anot. Says the Mishnah Berurah, in Siv Ksiv, Siv Kotten Kuf Mem Ches, he just points out, given Shulchan Tashmish Anot, the Mishnah Berurah, Siv Kotten Mem Vav, that's the earlier Mishnah Berurah. Miu Yesh Machmin, Hanu Lechatchil, Avol B'Diavet, Tzak Lebeshtif, the Mishnah Berurah reminds us that B'Diavet is even the Ramah is Mekel if need be. Similarly, you could also do the Miloi Ve'irui scenario. Do you remember the Miloi Ve'irui? 3 days? Yeah, you change water three times, 24 hours, and that's good enough as well if need be. Okay. Now, continues the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Chof Vav. Clay is a chuchis. That's very important machlokes. It's glass. Now, what would you say about glass? Can you catch a glass or not? Before entering the Shulchan Aruch, we have not discussed glass at all. What would your initial approach be? Take a glass, you want to use it for Pesach. What would you say? Yeah. It might crack. So just like Klicheres, we said you can't go Hagolah on Klicheres because it's going to crack. So similarly also glass, you put anywhere near the fire, it's going to crack. Yeah, so is that the pashtus? Kashering glass won't work?
Or,
oh, you're saying on the contrary. You are saying, there's no bias there. Glass is made out of, which it's so smooth, it cannot absorb any bleas. Consequently, according to you, should be perfectly fine. So according to you, it doesn't need Hagolah, and according to you, you cannot do Hagolah. And guess what? This is Machlokes Shulchan Aruch Ramah. Unbelievable. Shusiv Chavav. Klei Zechuchis, glassware. Hafilu Machnisin Likium. Afilu Mishtamesh Bechamen. Even if it was used for hot, if it was used for a long time, Mishtamesh Bechamen, it was used for hot. Ein Zrichin Tshum Hechsha. Do not need any, they don't require any Hagolah. She'enon Boilim. They don't absorb anything. It's substance, it's material, is something which is non-absorbent. It can absorb anything, and therefore, don't bother doing, don't do a color. And therefore, as you stated correctly, and it's sufficient to just rinse it off. And it's fine, because it's a non-absorbent material. These are the words of the Shulchan Aruch. The Ramah disagrees. The Ramah says, "V'yesh machmirim, some are stringent, v'omrim, some on the contrary." The klei zchuchis, they hold that glass where afilu hagolah lemanilu, even hagolah, even kashering won't help, because, as you said, that if it's brought anywhere in the fire, it's going to crack. Similarly to klecheres, just like klecheres, you cannot do hagolah. Also, glass, you cannot do hagolah. So rinsing for sure doesn't help, and hagolah also won't help. So it's a catch-22, and you can't use it. So according to Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't require Hagolah, and according to the Ramah, you can't do Hagolah. It's from both extremes. You can't have a more extreme Achloikas than that. The Ramah finishes off. V'chein ha-minik be'ashkenaz. This is the German minik. U'v'medino Yisraelu in the surrounding countries, which goes all the way to the United Kingdom. Yeah, I think so. The Ashkenazim. So the center of the world, according to the Ramah, is Ashkenaz. Is that interesting? Yeah. That's a nice Yiddish word. Yeah. Silverware, which has got a coated layer of glass. So he speaks about geschmalt. It's a good word. It's a good word. You like it?
It's a verb for
oiling. No, I don't know. No, geschmalzt over here is talking about silverware, which is a coating of glass. Now, what is the gzeirah shava to schmaltz? I don't know.
Silver plated.
Well, the coating, it's actually clay kesef. It is silver. There is silver in it, but it is coated with a layer of glass. Is that? It's not exactly. It's not exactly silver plated. Is it silver plated? Silver plated has a bit of silver in it. I think it's probably a bit different. Either way, we know it, of course, as we know it as geschmalz. That's how we know it. That's how the Ramah calls it. What?
Best word ever.
It's absolutely, yeah. So, yeah. So we've got this machlokes now. I want to point out a. Let's just look at the Mishnah Berurah first. The Mishnah Berurah says Kuf Nun Gimel She'enom Boilim. That's the first opinion. Lefi Shechalokim, it is very smooth. Vekoshim him, and it's very hard. What did you say? You said it cannot. What was your? How did? Why did you say that you can? That what did you say that glass?
It can't absorb.
Yeah, that's why. That's what the Shulchan Aruch. Why not? Why not? Mishnah Berurah says two things. He said, because shechalokim, it's smooth, vekoshim, I mean, it's hard. It's smooth.
Non-porous.
Maybe that's what it means, koshim, non-porous. That's probably what it means. Very good, yeah. So that's why the glass, that's, yeah, non-porous. It means that it's the smoothness makes it non-absorbent.
They have a massive machlokes in the nature of what glass is. Why is there such a big divergence of opinion?
Is it machlokes matzias? Probably. There's two machlokas. One is a machlokas metzias.
Maybe it was almost two different materials.
No. It's certainly the same. There is one. There's two machlokas. One machlokas is it boilea or not?
Right.
And that probably. And then the second machlokas is, will Hagola therefore help or not?
One
yeah, that's yeah. It does.
So it's a massive
machlokes. Probably, yeah. Yeah. I do not know.
It's the same
with
stone as well, isn't it?
Stone is why.
Stone tabletops, you can't
cut them
because
they
don't absorb.
Proper stone
tabletops,
yeah. Can't be cut, yeah.
Is there stone?
So you're saying that, yeah, but stone.
Granite doesn't absorb.
Let's just finish off. I want to see this Mishnah Berurah of Kof Nun Dalet. V'yesh machmin atam desviralu dekli zchuchis hoil v'tchilos b'yosem min achol. It's made out of sand. Hoki kli cheres that is like earthenware. She'enu yotzim midei dofyo le oilam. The bliers will not exit the walls. The walls of the keli le oilam ever v'afilu le diagola even through agola. And that's the machloikas. This is, for some odd reason, this crucial machloikas about glass, which is really a fundamental machloikas, the place where this is brought is only over here. We've got over here the machloikas with regards to glass. If glass doesn't need agala, or agala won't help. The nafkamina will be, with regards to Hilchas Pesach, obviously, but just as important, if not more important, it will be the same machlokes on our day-to-day lives throughout the whole year with regards to melchik and fleishik, which would mean what? And that is really strange, because lichoyre, based on what we are seeing now, you should have the following halacha: glass, which you use for a meaty meal.
If it's not boiler, then...
According to Shulchan Aruch, it's fine because it's not boiler. You can change. You can have the same glass for flashik, and then the same glass for milchik. You can really have a meaty meal with a glass, and use that very glass, once it's rinsed, 5 minutes later, you can use it by having milk inside it, and somebody else is gonna drink from milk in that very glass. That's according to Shulchan Aruch, but according to the Rama,
once you've traced it, there's no way back.
According to the Rama, it's not so posh at all. Pardon?
Once you've traced it, there's no way back, is there?
Absolutely. Yes. But what is really strange, and that's what the Poskim do point out, that do you have different glasses for flashing milchik?
No.
It is certainly true to say that this is not Dominic. Universally, it's been accepted in all the houses that I've ever been to use the same glass, whether it's for flashing or milchik meal. I mean, I don't know. I've not seen. Pardon? You keep different ones. Right. Here, this beautiful chumrah. No, not you. Somebody else is going to have a milk meal. He's rinsing off. You had your meaty meal. You had your schnitzel and your chicken and your goulash and your cholent all together. And then you use the glass and somebody else said, he's using that was not meaty at all. He's taking that very glass. He's rinsing it off, pouring milk in, and he's drinking.
You wouldn't put the milk in dishwasher after facing.
Not dishwasher, because it's a child of dishwasher. But in terms of the actual keli, HaKonu Shul Chonoch, we've got the HaKonu Dhamo, and we don't find this chumah besides by Mishpachas Kagan. Besides Mishpachas Kagan, we find.
Can you record it?
Yeah, okay. So now it's an accepted chumah. The only tzad which I've heard by some rabbonim saying, I think it's a limud chus, but it's a limud chus on the whole Kali soil, will be to state and say that since the Rama only points out his opinion over here, it could be that it is. Relate, it's a chumah de chometz. It's a chumah which he has with regards to chometz only, and he will not hold different than Shulchan Aruch. He will agree to Shulchan Aruch's opinion when it comes to pasul b'cholov v'tzorich iyan. But it could be. We found this elsewhere. We found that there is chumras. The Rama is machmir on certain things when it comes to Hilchas Pesach, but it doesn't have those very stringencies with regards to pasul b'cholov. It requires further thought. And if you've got any further thoughts on this, we can resume tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.